everyone. Margaret Gray here with the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Phil is here, so is General Shaw, so is Bud Dickman, so is Robert Leonard, so is this.
What is this?
This is Motionless in White. And it's unstoppable. Isn't this scary?
Yeah, you gotta have respect for it.
I don't have to have respect for it either.
Well, these are guys, and all these guys are playing at being, they're playing at being the devil, isn't it?
Well, I wouldn't say they're playing at being the devil, but they are the intent, the thrust of the music, General, is a sort of demonism. A demonism, you know.
I think you guys are way off on that.
Is that right? Phil, I happen to be the media critic.
Margaret says the thrust of it.
Yeah, the thrust of it.
So you think it's a hip thrust, Todd? You're...
Yeah.
Feel good? Did that feel good?
Yeah.
Here we go. This show would not be the show without Margaret assaulting somebody right off the bat.
I beg your pardon?
I mean, every show, you're smacking this guy across the face.
Excuse me, Phil. No, I'm not. General, did you hear that?
Well, Margaret, get out.
He said assaulting. If you want to say I'm smacking someone across the face, that's one thing. But when you say I'm assaulting someone...
Yeah, it does sound like it's, you know...
It sounds like I am awkwardly putting one leg up on the desk here, and the other leg is floor level, and I...
Yeah, she's awkwardly assaulting me.
Only you guys could come up with that horse shit. I'm telling you, you know, that's... Wasn't even in my mind.
Dad, did you hear the word?
Yeah, Phil, you know, you are a young man, and not a young man, but you're relatively speaking, you speak...
Would speak to his elders? The man happens to be older than me.
Well, I mean, I'm... What are you guys talking about, anyway?
What are you talking about?
Talking about what Bud was talking about, which was when you say that you... When I say that you...
See, you're the one that carved it up.
You said, Mr. Emmett, she starts every show by assaulting everyone.
By assaulting someone, not everyone.
Yes, and I said it sounds as if I'm awkwardly putting a leg...
All right, Margaret, you don't have to... Every time you say that, I've got a visual of it. And God, I don't need...
General, you okay? Just sit down.
Yeah, I got a visual of Margaret putting the leg up.
So, in other words, me putting my leg awkwardly up on a desk...
Margaret, the man is having a hard time breathing here.
No, I'll get to the General's physical problems. General, can you hear me?
Yeah.
General, are you saying...
Come on, Margaret. Man, I'm not feeling well.
Margaret.
All right, I'll get to you in a moment.
The whole visual of you sticking your leg up, God.
Sticking my leg up where?
No, the idea of you awkwardly assaulting someone.
Are you trying to tell me that in your mind you see me with my leg up, one leg down, I'm giving it a hip thrust even though I'm in a skirt?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
Got a whole idea, the whole thing. Make a man sick.
You know what makes me sick? The fact that you're walking around upright.
Come on.
I'll attend to you later.
Come on, General. It's not that bad.
You want to bet it's not that bad? Most of it, though, is the acid reflux from the... Is that the coffee you made, or is that the coffee that I thought I made? Well, I know I don't make coffee.
Well, you don't make coffee. I make coffee.
Hold on for a... Rig.
General, I don't think the coffee...
No, you know, Margaret, part of it is the coffee, and part of it is the thought of you getting all... Yeah, I think I'll give...
All right, I'm sorry I used the word assault.
Yes, if you want to say I slapped someone across the face, then say it.
All right, not every show begins with you slapping someone across the face, but just about every show. How about that?
Yeah, and that someone is... Me.
Right, because you deserve it. Every morning there's some reference to something that I'm doing with a fictitious penis that you think I've...
All right. Thank you very much for that observation.
Yeah, Ms. Gladman, you make it worse by bringing it up.
Excuse me, I didn't hear you. What did you say?
I said you make it worse by bringing it up.
So you're blaming this on me.
Cut it out, will you? I'm beginning to...
Oh, come on, will you?
I'm telling you right now, you may think I'm jiving... But when I think about her going, yeah, when I think of her...
When you think of me doing what? When you think of me in a skirt...
Okay, is everybody done?
No, I've got a lot more to say about this.
No. I think everyone's done now. That's the most meaningless conversation I think we've ever had, and we've had a lot of very meaningless conversations.
Now, let me refresh my... Because I know it made me sick.
Yes, you were half-laying, half-sitting in that chair.
All right.
Margaret, I use the word assault, and so in your mind, you were thinking of Margaret sexually assaulting someone.
That's right. Awkwardly, almost mannishly, going just, Jesus.
Yeah, well, I mean...
And that made you one of the... My God, I feel like throwing up now.
You know what? Should we start the show all over again?
No. You don't have to do that.
Welcome to the program, guys. The Phil Hendry Show. Today, we have with us a very special guest. I know you've talked to him before, General Shaw. We're going to be talking to Irvin Dozier. Is it Irvin Dozier?
No, it's Unger. Irvin. Unger. U-N-G-E-R.
Where did I get Irvin?
I don't know where you got Irvin. You know, do you have Irvin, or are you talking about the name Irvin?
Yeah, I thought you talked about a guy named Irvin.
No, I don't have a guy named Irvin somewhere around here. Where did I get the name Irvin?
Well, we're talking about, like, Irvin Berlin or something.
What about Irvin Berlin?
Irvin Berlin. You mean Irvin Johnson?
Oh, yeah, Irvin Johnson.
Irving Berlin.
What's the difference?
What's the difference? One is Irvin and one is Irving. Okay, so I don't want to talk about that because I can see us going off into weird land with that. All right, so we're going to be talking to Unger Dozier, huh?
That's the man's name. Don't wear it out, you know. That's the guy's name, Unger Dozier. Now, his son Vernon will be here to introduce him. And then we got Jean Jabel, too.
Yeah, Jean Jabel's going to be on. Talk about a new book.
Right. Jean Jabel has written a new... Jean Jabel of Country USA. He's got that syndicated country music show. He's written a new book called... It's called Jean Jabel, I've Been Shot 63 Times.
Now, what in the name of Jesus coming off the cross, dusting himself off, going to get himself a lemonade, and getting back up on the cross is that about?
The fuck are you talking about?
You heard what I was saying.
Talk about... What is it about, Phil?
It's... Well, did you hear what she just said?
Who gives a good, fat, sweet squeaker? Just go ahead and tell us.
It's about the fact the guy has screwed so many wives, he's been shot 63 times.
And that's a music book?
Apparently, it's a book. He says, My Years in Country Music. Jean Jabel, I've Been Shot 63 Times.
Wow, that's not even... Hey, was Gary Busey ever an owner of the Dallas Cowboys?
Of the Dallas Cowboys?
Yeah.
No, why?
Because there's a picture of him on a screen there, and he's standing there with Jimmy Jimison, or whatever the guy's name is. Who's the owner?
Jerry Johnson.
No, Jerry Jones is the owner. Jimmy Johnson was the head coach.
Yeah, there's a picture of him.
Okay, just because Gary Busey is in a picture with Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson doesn't mean he's a part owner of the Dallas Cowboys. Maybe he just came to one of the games.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a great, great deduction there, bud. What a brain surgeon.
All right, let's get to Bob Bakey in with the traffic, and then we can bring on... First up, Jean Jabel, I think, is going to be joining us. Here's Bob Bakey in with traffic. Bob?
Hey, Phil, I dropped down on the top side of Dole Road there, and I was hovering over a big landfill, and I saw a couple of guys growling out of there, and I don't know if they were looking for a couple of murders or something. Two guys coming out of there, out front of the chain-link fence, and they had submachine guns getting back into a small, very, very Volkswagen joined down front. If you see a car turning over and you're flipping over in a car, give us a call. If you have any kind of a roadside problem, especially if you're flipping over in a car and going down the side of a hill, maybe crashing down into the ravine and coming off of a cliff, call us up here at 5-5-TRON. That's 5-5-TRON. The number again is 312-10-12-10. There's a lady down there with a yellow dress. She's pregnant. She's walking down the road and hitchhacking. I've been about to give her a ride. I guess maybe up to the hospital up there. Drop down. I'm down here. I'm going to drop down. I think I'm going to jump out of this helicopter and end it all. Bob Bank in traffic.
You might as well roll with a real hitter. I'm
yeah.
Not talking about them fools.
Yeah.
I'm talking about
yeah.
You.
World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. We'll be back in just a moment.
Can be a movie star.
Hi, I'm William Cownern. Do you know that Phil Hendry has kept me happy for so long? Being a Backstage Pass member means that I can... Hey, listen. Get out of there. Hi, everybody. This is Phil Hendry. Don't forget to get a Backstage... I want to do it. You don't get to do it if you're screwing around with the echo. Hi, everyone. I'm Phil Hendry. Will you stop that, bud?
Stop that.
Get in here. My name is... Anyway, please get a backstage pass. Please do it. Please do it.
You can roll, you say no, let me show you around here. Cowgirl, hold up, roll with a winner, roll.
Snoop Dogg in California Roll. There's a...
I'll bet it's a California Roll. I feel like I've been California Rolled listening to it. Where am I... What happened to my Huarache sandals? I know, I got California Rolled for them by Snoop Dogg.
Ha, ha, ha!
heard about me. Thank you. You heard all about me. Yeah, that's great, General. Okay, you know what? That's about the best line anybody's gotten off this morning, I'll tell you that.
I'm still having a very hard time with people envisioning me putting my leg
back. Forget about you assaulting people. Let's talk right now to Gene Gevelli. He's on the line with us here. Gene is in Nashville. He's about to go out on tour and do a little bit of a book tour out there. And Gene, I'm proud of you and proud of this new book that you have, Gene Gevelli from the Gene Gevelli Country USA Cavalcade. How are you, Gene?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing very good. Thanks so much for having me on.
Now, your book is called Gene Gevelli, I've Been Shot 63 Times. Tell me about that.
Well, Phil, in the world of country music, you know, I've been in the country music field now for some 45 years. And I'll tell you, it is always exciting to go out on the road, go out of the cavalcade. We have the Gene Gevelli Country USA Tour. We tour with some of the top stars and some of the top country artists of all time. We go from town to town, and of course we'll go from ringside to ringside, going to some of the great arenas. And along the way, of course, I meet a lot of Gene Gevelli fans. So many fans that are out there, a lot of them have husbands that are truckers. And those guys will be out trucking along the highways and byways. You know, we say on the Gene Gevelli Show, we say that put it into 16th gear.
Yeah, hey, can I interrupt you for a second, Gevelli? Phil asked a very specific question. Could you answer it?
Well, I'm going to answer that, General. I just want to get Phil and you and everybody listening give a little bit about the taste, what the book is about. The Gene Gevelli, I've Been Shot 63 Times. I think the title says it.
Yes, but I think what the General is saying is that what does that title mean?
I'm getting to it. Okay, don't worry about it. Hold your horses. Keep your girdle on there, Margaret.
Excuse me, Gene, but this is not one of your disc jockey shows. I don't wear a girdle, all right?
All right, Margaret, fine with me. Listen, I've Been Shot 63 Times is a title of my autobiography, Margaret. You give me a little bit of a break here and cut me a little bit of slack. I'll tell you a little bit about it. Because one of the things I like to do here in the Gene Gevelli Country USA Tour is tell you all about the great tours that we have and tell you all about...
Gene, I think what we're saying here is that you're doing too much of a pitch and you're not giving us the meat and the potatoes, huh?
I'll give you the meat and potatoes. Don't worry about it. Tell you what, General and Margaret and Phil, the day I give you the meat, you're going to know it. Hey, listen, let me tell you something.
That's pretty good, Mr. Gevelli.
Thanks so very, very much, but, you know... excuse me, I just, are you all right, ma'am? I just stepped in front of a lady who was pushing a baby carriage. The baby carriage got spilled over. Is the child all right? Is the child all right? Okay.
Oh, my God, you knocked over the baby carriage?
Yeah, I did. Standing here in the airport just waiting to board the plane. Thank you very much, ma'am. No problem. All right, is the child okay? Child's still laying here. Do you want the child? Oh, that's not the child. That's a basket. It's a bundle. Yeah, you left your bundle. There's a bundle of blankets. Okay. All right, see you. Is no baby in there? Okay. Well, then how come you got a baby bassinet? Okay. You wait. Oh, okay. All right, you're waiting for your sister's going to be getting off the plane. She's got a baby. You got to put that baby in there, and you take baby down. All right, well, make sure you wrap that baby up. That's good. Okay, Phil, that was a little bit. I stepped in front of a lady here and knocked over the baby bassinet. I thought maybe the baby went rolling out, and it turned out it was a bunch of clothing and some kind of thing like blankets or something was wrapped up. Just looked like a baby. Looked like there might have been the bald head of a baby in there. But it wasn't the bald head of a baby. It was actually some Tupperware. It looked like a baby's bald head. You know what I mean, Phil?
Yeah, that's great. So we're talking to Gene Gevelli, and Gene has written a book entitled I've Been Shot 63 Times. Now, Gene, without making too many jokes here, I can well imagine you being shot 63 times, especially if you talk the way you're talking right now. Probably people shot you just to get you to shut up, you know?
Well, I don't know, Phil. I don't find that very funny. What I'm trying to say here is I've got a book that I wrote about. I'll tell you, I got shot 63 times. I got shot 63 times because I was sleeping with the guy's wife. All right, and I was trying to lead up to this and try to do it in a way in which it might be a little bit more respectful, might be a little bit something you can understand.
All right, well, Gevelli, we want the story, okay?
All right, but Phil Henry making a joke about me. Hold on. Phil Henry making a joke about me, me.
What is going on?
I got shot in the face. I don't know. I've talked about getting shot. Tap.
Is he all right? What's going on?
Yeah, Mr. Gevelli.
It's all right. This is a residual effect. It's a nerve damage. Phil, I've been shot 63 times. One of the places where I've been shot was in the jaw. I had massive, massive facial damage. And, of course, I had facial reconstruction, plastic surgery. But they never were able to repair some of the nerve damage. So occasionally, I'll hit a certain word. I don't know what it could be. Shot 63 times. Maybe I put it two syllables together too fast. But I will suddenly begin to... Yeah, they're right there. I got stuck. You understand what that... Did you hear that?
Yeah, what is that? That's from being shot in the face?
Yeah, that's right. Some of the nerve damage there. So what I was going to say is I got shot.
Well, I don't know if we can keep doing this.
Hold on. I'll make that decision.
I got shot. Shot.
You got shot 63 times?
Yeah. I got shot 63 times, right. And I got shot in the...
Get...
Yeah, hey, Gene,
Why don't you text it? Text the answer.
What do you mean text? Give me the phone. Hey, Gene, can we go on with this thing or not? Are you okay? No, that's music. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Now, Phil, I got shot 63 times because I got shot by jealous husbands. That's what I'm trying to say. And the jealous husbands I shot were guys that were truckers. These are guys that are, you know, out on the highways, out on the byways, as you and Bob Bacon like to say, and they're hauling America's freight. So I got shot 63 times by husbands that returned home and found me in bed with their wives. And, of course, it's something that you don't want to see when you're a husband coming home. And I like to say, put it into 16th gear, let the good times roll. A lot of those truckers would listen to me. And I thought that we were safe. I thought the coast was clear. I thought I was clean as a baby's ass, we like to say, excuse my language. Well, it wasn't a bee, and they'd get home because maybe they assumed that I had a tape on. I don't know what, but I thought I was entertaining these guys so much they'd stay out on the highway and listen to the music that I'm playing.
Well, that's not going to be the case. I mean, they're going to come home eventually.
I understand that, but as long as the show is on, I didn't think they'd be coming home when my show is on. That's why I'd be on out there in the middle of the night, and I'd be talking to a lot of these ladies, and I'd be eventually having sex with them. Maybe I was out there at a personal appearance. Dot, 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 dot.
You got, what, are you stuck again?
All right, I've been talking to some of those ladies, and, I'll give you an example of what I mean by being shot 63 times, Phil.
All right, hold on for a minute here. We're talking to Gene Jabel. The book is called I've Been Shot 63 Times as the Result of Him Having Extramarital Affairs with Guys' Wives. Now, these are guys that were truckers that are out on the road, and they caught you in bed with their wives. Is that right?
That's exactly right.
Well, why do you consider that to be so unusual?
Because, as I said, I had the
I can't listen to this.
Well, hold on. Say it again.
Because they came home while the show was still on. I didn't think any guy would be getting out of the truck and on his way into the house to face his wife or say hello or hi, honey, or anything like that while the Gene Jabel Country USA show was still on. So as long as the show was on, I thought I was safe. I thought the coast was clear. I thought I was cleaning the baby's ass. So I'd be in bed with a woman, and the next thing you know, I look up, and there's a double-barrel shotgun, or there's a pistol, there's a Smith & Wesson, a 22, a 9mm something that I'm staring right down the barrel of. Now, in the case of the shotgun, I took a full shotgun blast to the side of the face. The reconstructive surgery certainly helped me out. But I could
That's all nerve damage, huh?
Yeah. The nerve damage, now, is getting better, and I'm coming back up on it. I'm getting therapy, and I go into therapy like twice a week. Now, other areas I've been shot, the kneecap, I've been shot in both knees, I've been shot in both elbows, I've been shot in both shoulders, I've taken a full shotgun blast to the gut, I've taken a shot off the rib cage. They haven't hit the heart, haven't hit any lungs either, but I've been shot through both sides of the rib cage. I have been shot in the feet. I've been shot both hands. I've been shot both arms. I've been shot 3 times right through my head, to be honest with you, and didn't do any major damage that I could tell.
No, you didn't think it did any major damage. Listening to you, my friend, I'd have to say maybe it did.
Well, you can laugh all you want there, General, but I can tell you Gene Jabel Country USA is going to keep rolling right on.
Oh, no, I'm not laughing. I'm telling the truth.
All right, let's just stop on all of this bickering. I want to know, of the 63 times that you've been shot, were you ever near death?
I don't really know. They tell me that I was a couple of times. They tell me that I took that shotgun glass. That shotgun blast off my face. Now, that was one that was for the books. I can tell you that right now. Shotgun blast off my face was one that was, I think, was death-defying, if not life-threatening. There's no doubt about that. Gene Jabel Country USA, you going out there in these Country USA cavalcade, going to meet a lot of the listeners, a lot of the husbands are out on the road, and you take your chances. I'll tell you that right now. But you wake up, you stare there, and you're saying, God damn, I'm still on the air. I got a tape up. How come this guy is home? Blam, there goes the shotgun. Everything goes black. Next thing I know, half my face is off. Want to thank all the doctors there, though, did that thing.
All right, Gene Jabel suffers from some kind of nerve damage. We're going to get him straightened away. We're going to go to a commercial. We'll be right back. It's Phil Henry talking to Gene Jabel about the book entitled Gene Jabel, I've Been Shot 63 Times, which is a brand new book and one that is his autobiography, Gene Jabel Country USA. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Also coming up, Unger Dozier, Vernon Dozier's father. And he'll be talking about his lifelong love affair with the Dallas Cowboys.
I love this song, Faithfully. I wish I had been the lead singer of whatever this group is. This is Foreigner, right?
No, it's Journey.
It's Journey.
It's Journey. That's who it is. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. I'll be right back. Woo!
This is General Galen Shaw. Don't forget, we've got a souvenir shop on our website at philhenryshow.com. Go to our online store and pick up something for the little lady. Pick up something for the little man. And I am talking about your husband, if he happens to be under 4 feet tall. Or get something for the little man, if he's your son. That's all I'm saying.
Thank you.
I wasn't talking to you, but...
Faithfully.
Shut up.
Hi, Gene Jabel is my guest here on the Phil Hendry Show. Gene, as you know, is the host of Gene Jabel's Country USA, which is the country music, syndicated country music show. He's written a book called I'm Gene Jabel, I've Been Shot 63 Times. Now, what I'm gathering here, Gene, is you've been shot 63 times by husbands who came home and found you in bed with their wives, correct?
That is absolutely right, Phil. Gene Jabel been shot 63 times as the result of sleeping with listeners. And these are young ladies that are married. Now, did I know they were married? Would I sleep with a woman if I knew she was married? I've got to answer that question with an affirmative, with yes, of course. But I figured, as I said, that the...
All right, what you're hearing, folks, is a nerve-damaged face, so... this is from taking a shotgun blast to the face, and although reconstructive surgery, he's looking good, and I guess you're feeling good, huh, Gene? All right, so...
Yeah, Gene! Yeah, he's okay.
Yeah, I'm feeling good, Phil, I am, but as you can tell, I have these episodes, I have these moments where I just don't have any muscular control, I don't have any nerve damage, I mean, I don't have any control over the nerve damage, and so I have to... Yeah.
All right. Gene, where can we get your book?
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much.
Why? What are you doing?
Phil, I have. Someone's got to make a decision here.
Phil, I agree. Somebody's got to make a decision and get that guy off the air. That's very weird. That's disturbing. You remember the guy last week that I'm Jack Brainerd, I'm disturbed? Well, I'm General Galen Shaw, and I'm disturbed.
Yeah, that guy's jacked up.
How does that guy do a disc jockey show when he's got nerve damage like that?
I don't know, man. It must be something, maybe some pills or something.
Get him back on the phone, will you?
Yeah, Gene? Yeah, it's Bud. Hey, how you doing? Yeah, it sounds fantastic. Sam?
Don't lie to that man.
Yeah.
Give me that. Hey, Gene. Just one more question for you, man. Let me just put you back on the air. How are you able to do a disc jockey show when you have such nerve damage, that you are, making all those noises?
Well, I'll tell you something, Phil. It probably has something more to do with the fact that the show that I do is on tape, and so we edit out all the things that are.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
Nah.
So, how'd you like to be the engineer on that show? They got to edit out all the stuff that isn't right. I'll tell you what isn't right. That guy isn't right.
That's very strange. But as they say, you know, you can fix it in the mix. I'm Margaret Gray.
Hey, fix it in the mix. Never heard that one before.
Don't be a smartass, Bud, because you won't live very... All right, stop.
Thank you, Bud. All right, we got Unger Dozier, who is Vernon Dozier's father, is going to be coming up and talking with us here in just a moment on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Just a reminder that coming up tonight, we have a two-hour chat, and today's show is going to be a little bit short. The reason for that is because I was in town at a meeting. It was, as I mentioned, a production meeting for, for our ongoing projects. Let's just put it that way. But we will have a two-hour chat coming up tonight here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show for you and yours. So stick around for that one. That starts at 9 o'clock Pacific time right here on our website, a two-hour chat with yours truly. And that's because the chat that was supposed to go off last night sucked. Actually, the chat that was supposed to go off Wednesday night sucked every mammal in the, in the zoo, you know.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right. So, thank you, Robert.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, I would say it did.
Thank you. So,
yes, it was lousy.
Thank you very much. Great. So in any event, that'll be tonight. We've got a 2-hour chat, 9 o'clock Pacific, right here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show website. Oh, man. All right, let's check it out now.
Yes!
All right, Vernon Dozier is going to join us here. And Vernon, of course, is our close personal friend. All right, thanks a lot. Vernon is our close personal friend, long time friend of the radio show, and of course, a friend of our podcast. And Vernon is as well a head coach of the softball team there at Belmar Academy and their varsity football coach. And we talked to you about the softball season, Vernon. I'm sorry that it didn't go as well as it might have, but I guess that's just the way the cookie crumbles. How are you doing, Vernon, all things considered?
I'm doing all right, Phil, and of course I'm very happy to have my father here visiting from San Antonio, and Unger has taught me an awful lot, and I wanted to give you the benefit of meeting him.
Mr. Unger Dozier, sir, how are you?
I'm very good. Thank you very much for having me on.
Sir, you are from San Antonio. Is that where Vernon was raised?
That is correct, Vernon, and my eldest son is Vernon, and my youngest son, Elroy. And then we have our daughter, Jeannie. All of them were raised in San Antonio, Texas, which is where I'm from. I worked for the Texas Public Utility Commission for a number of years, and then I moved on to the Gas Commission, and eventually I went into wildcatting gas myself.
Hey, oh, you wildcatted gas wells, huh?
Oh, yes, sir, I did.
And I imagine you made a pretty good living?
Yes, I did. I made most of the good living I made was after Vernon moved out, and Vernon was on his way to college. We had a tough time, didn't we, Vernon, when you were a boy?
We did, Dad, yeah.
But after Vernon moved out, and after the kids moved out, actually, we were able to, his mother and I were able to finally have some fun, and we had a lot of money, and I can tell you we spent it. But when Vernon was at home, and he was at home with his brothers and with his sister, we didn't have anything.
It was my bad luck. I guess my bad luck, my brother's bad luck, my sister's bad luck, that my father couldn't make nickel one.
Well, let's be kind now.
Yeah, okay. Guys, don't get into a discussion about...
No, I love my father very much. He just couldn't make nickel one when we were living at home, so...
Well, but you know what? At least I was able to take care of your mother after the lot of you moved out. And, you're two boys. You got to understand, Phil, that when Vernon was at home and his brother Elroy... They ate everything in sight. I couldn't keep a refrigerator full of food for longer than 25, 30 minutes. And then we'd have to run down to the store again and get steaks and pork and ribs and...
That's not exactly true.
That's absolutely true. Your sister ate the same way. It didn't make any difference once the boys left. And Jeannie was still at home, and she ate everything that moved. She ate everything that wasn't nailed down. I got to tell you,
my God, I mean, are they big children?
Yes, very much. Vernon himself, as you've met Vernon, haven't you, Phil?
Yes, I have. He's a tall man.
Yeah, Vernon's 6'3". How much do you weigh, son?
I'm pushing 300. I've got a weight problem.
Oh, yeah. And Elroy is 6'3", and he's around 260, 270. And his sister, now, Jeannie, she's 5'10", but she's topping out at about 180 these days. And I talked to her husband the other day, and he was nursing a sprained wrist because he was trying to lift her up and carry her over the threshold of a new house they bought. And he blew his wrist. He just blew the wrist. The wrist is blown. And he also has got a bad back, and I think he buckled a knee.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Hold on. I'm not done yet. He blew his wrist. He buckled a knee. His back is shot. He also, I think he got a hernia, didn't he, Vernon?
Yeah, he did. He busted open the hernia.
Yeah, the hernia. I believe he dislocated his neck, and then he sprained his diaphragm too. And
that's from lifting his wife over the threshold.
That's from lifting his wife over a threshold. Yes, they just bought a brand new house, and I said to him, "Well, that'll be the last house you buy." He said, "Well, you know what, Daddy? I don't have to lift her over the threshold of all the houses we buy." I said to him, "Well, I hope not, because that's about the sixth or seventh house they bought. They're very, very wealthy." And he insists on carrying her over the threat. I don't think he will anymore.
No, he's not going to do that.
All right, Mr. Dozier, I wanted to ask you. Vernon said to ask you about your...
Are you having a hard time breathing, sir?
No, I'm not.
Because I heard you kind of, smack your lip. Every time I hear a man smack his lips and swallow, Well, it reminds me of things I probably shouldn't bring up.
I wish you wouldn't know.
No, but not seriously, I'm just making a joke. It sounds like you might have a hard time breathing.
No, Mr. Henry's fine. He's in a stupor.
Excuse me, Vernon, I can do this. You're not having a hard time breathing, huh?
No, sir, I'm not.
All right, I was a paramedic in the service. And I've got some medical training.
Well, that's wonderful. Now, what made you want to go into the public utilities and gas and so forth?
Well, basically to make a living. I wanted to remain a paramedic. I wanted to be just a basic paramedic. I didn't want to be a doctor, but I did want to work for the ambulance companies. You know, I enjoyed that work very much. But it didn't pay enough, and of course the hours are very uneven. So I decided I'd have to get out of that and get to a real job.
But my father, to this day, Phil, still is active in, training, you know. What do you train for? You train the people?
Cardiopulmonary resuscitation, that kind of thing.
Yeah, emergency. And
okay, so you train people on how to administer emergency services?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, so he still does a great deal of that. He's also a lifeguard at the pool, so he's very, very active.
Do you mind me asking you how old you are, sir?
I'm 81 years of age.
How about that? He does very, very well for 81.
I'm 81 years of age, and I still love to watch my Dallas Cowboys playing football. Now, Vernon and I have a disagreement on that. Vernon's a Houston Texan fan, right, Vernon?
Well, I like to see these underdog teams.
Okay, I can't tell you the arguments we've had about this.
Now, you've been a Dallas Cowboy fan your whole life.
Oh, absolutely. Well, not my whole life. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys came to Dallas in 1960. Vernon was just a baby. And I said to Vernon, even as a baby, I said to him, please don't ever be a Houston Oiler fan. Please don't be a Houston Oiler fan. Even as a baby, I asked him that to see if I could get some kind of a pledge from him. Now, you are a baby. Of course, Vernon, I didn't expect you to say anything, but I heard you burp something up.
And you took that to mean yes.
Well, no, I didn't take that. I wasn't going to hold you to it, but I thought, you know, as a father, as a proud father, I said, well, maybe that's a good sign. But it wasn't. As soon as Vernon was old enough, he was a Houston Oilers fan all the way. He had a George Blanda poster, all this nonsense. Dan Pastorini, he loved Houston, Earl Campbell, all that.
I just felt that the Houston Oilers was a much more interesting team than the Dallas Cowboys, because...
What makes you think that more... God damn.
Well, look, Dan, let's not argue about it.
Okay, let tell you what. Mr. Dozier, I want to take a break. I'm going to get back here and talk to you because I know that you've got a lot to say about the Cowboys and the National Football League and maybe even Deflategate, huh?
Oh, I've got a lot to say about Deflategate. I think the New England Patriots, if there's one thing that I will thank the New England Patriots for, is that down through the years before the Oilers moved to Tennessee, they laid a lot of heartache on the Oilers. And,
you know, I hate their guts.
Yeah. Look at that. You hate their living. I love them. God, I love it. I love it. And so, you go take your break.
All right, let's take a break here. We are talking here with Unger Dozier, Vernon Dozier's father, and Vernon, and the whole kit and caboodle. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Great to have you guys with us, man. Huh? Yeah.
Very, very weird show today, by the way, folks. We do apologize, but...
Apologize for nothing. I'm enjoying myself.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Oh, forget it.
Hey, everybody, this is Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Hey, listen, have you always wanted to have a Jay Sanders Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt? You have? Well, guess what? We got them in stock right now. World famous Phil Hendry Show souvenir store. Go to online store, get a Jay Sanders Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt. Now you can walk around with official Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt. People will see you. Of course, they're not going to be allowed to think that you're actually in an auxiliary police because you're not. You'd have to have proper training for that, and there's no way that's never, you know, that won't happen. However, you can wear the t-shirt, and people will say, hey, well, do you know Jay Sanders? You can say, well, you know, I've heard him on the Phil Hendry Show. And then you can give people, save to them. You should learn how to do safety and everything. Just this, well, never mind, don't say any of that. Just buy the t-shirt, Phil Hendry Show, website and go to online store for the Citizens Auxiliary Police. I'm sorry, I'm scratching my nose and the phone dropped down below my mouth. Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt.
Thanks a lot, Jay. That was great. Go to the online store for the Jay Sano Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt. Or not. Doesn't make any difference to me.
All right, General. That's not very...
Not very what? Nice?
No, it's not. All right, back here with Unger Dozier, Vernon Dozier's father. Vernon Dozier, as you know, the head coach of Belmar Academy's varsity football team. Say, Unger, were you following your son's exploits there with the softball team?
Yes, I was following, Vernon. You were sending your mother and I postcards, right?
Yeah, well, I sent them postcards. We didn't have a very good season.
I don't think that softball is... I don't understand why you would want to do that. Did they not have a softball coach?
I thought I could make a difference.
Is that right? Well, did you make a difference?
Okay, Dad. Mr. Henry's asking you.
Yeah, Mr. Dozier, that's okay.
I always like to break my sons. I love all of my kids. Don't misunderstand. I love all my kids, but I love to break their balls. Excuse me for...
Okay, so moving along, let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys.
All right, anything you want to talk about.
Are you a Cowboy fan... are you a Cowboy fan come hell or high water, come good times, bad times, or does it kind of ebb and flow a little bit?
Oh, I would say that there's no question it ebbs and flows because I'm not a Jerry Jones fan. I don't like Jerry Jones. I've never liked Jerry Jones. And the reason why I don't like Jerry Jones is because Jerry Jones replaced a man who I considered to be the greatest football coach of all time, and that was Tom Landry. But the minute Jerry Jones came into the Dallas Cowboy organization and he bought that team and he decided that he needed to get his ego going, you know, and show everybody what a big shot he was. So what did he do? He decided to fire Tom Landry. And I'll never forget, I was there at Texas Gas and I went into the executive washroom and I vomited into the sink. The word had just come across on the radio.
You threw up.
Yes, I did, ma'am. Absolutely.
Isn't that a bit of an extreme reaction for just a fan?
No, it is. No, it's... Are you familiar with football?
Well, Margaret, these are the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, I don't care what they are.
Are you familiar with football, ma'am?
A little bit, yes.
Well, you couldn't possibly be that familiar because for you to quit, it is a normal reaction. I'm a little bit embarrassed, Mr. Henry.
It's all right. I mean, Ms. Gray... And many of us are not familiar with the affinity that many fans have for the Dallas Cowboys.
Let me explain something to you. Vernon, did you talk to this lady?
About what?
About the Dallas Cowboys. She's acting as if I have a brain lesion because I vomited.
Well, I think it is very unusual to be attached to a sports team.
No, it is not unusual at all, ma'am. Did you talk to...
Sir, there's nothing wrong.
Well, to me there is because... let me say this. It is a perfectly normal reaction in Texas that when Tom Landry was fired as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, that people threw up into waste paper baskets to spontaneously vomit. I guess you don't read the newspapers. People threw up, all right, at no matter where they were.
Everyone.
What's that?
Everyone threw up.
No, not everyone. No, Vernon didn't because he was a Dallas Oilers or a Houston Oilers fan, weren't you?
I have to admit, yeah, I'm a Houston Oilers fan. When I heard about Tom Landry getting fired, I didn't care one way or the other. It didn't make any difference to me. I figured he wasn't along for the world anyway. You know.
All right, that's enough. Okay, don't start making a speech. Okay, this is my time.
Well, Dad.
No, this is my time. All right. I don't do anything. All for years since I retired, I sit and I stare out. I put in a bigger window. I had the window expanded in the front room just so I'd have more to stare at, you know. And your mother, it doesn't get out of bed now before 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So there are days I'll be up at 7 and I sit and I look. And I imagine what it might look like if a car comes down the street or someone's walking, other than just what I see, which is the barrenness of a suburban
Okay, look, Mr. Dozier, getting back to the Dallas Cowboys, so you threw up, huh?
I threw up when? When Tom Landry got fired, I puked in the executive washroom. And I swore then that this guy, Jerry Jones, wouldn't get another nickel of my money, but then he hired Jimmy Johnson, and I bought 4 straight years of season tickets.
So he did get more of your money.
He got more of my money when he... I guess I changed my mind. I don't know.
I guess you did. That sounds a little bit like you did.
Well, all right. But I can tell... But I belched, by the way. Is that all right, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, that's fine. Everybody does it around here.
Oh, okay. Well, can I... Let me... Don't grab the phone. Grab the phone, Dad, for 1 minute. First of all, my father is not such a slavish, you know, a fan of the Dallas Cowboys. You remember when they Jimmy Johnson pissed you off a few years, right?
Well, I became a big Barry Switzer fan when Johnson got fired, and he went to the, I guess he went to the Miami Dolphins. I said, you know what, Johnson, you can go straight to hell. You can go to hell. And I became a huge Barry Switzer fan, but then I didn't like him either, you know. And I hoped that they'd fire that they would fire him and bring Jimmy Johnson back. And now I like the team a lot, although I can't tell you who the coach is.
Jason Garrett.
That's it. Now I can't tell you who the coach is.
Yeah. So, and now the family has season tickets. How many years now have you had season tickets, Dad?
Well, I had season tickets through the Jimmy Johnson era. Then he pissed me off, and so I actually only had season tickets through most of the years except one. Then he pissed me off. Then Barry Switzer came on board, and then I bought season tickets for that. But then Barry Switzer was fired, and then I stopped buying season, and then I bought more season tickets. I guess I've had season tickets off and on for the last 20, 27 years. But see, the Dallas Cowboys are sold out in terms of season tickets, so I must be buying someone else's season tickets.
All right, so the family, we don't have season tickets of our own.
Oh, no, no, no. We don't have season because I wasn't smart enough to hold on to the season tickets. I got angry, and I gave them back. And so now I'm having to actually go down to these ticket scalpers and brokers and buy them that way, Phil.
All right. Well, but you know what? That's a true fan. At least you're, trying to do what you can do to go see the team.
What does that mean, do what I can do? What I'm saying is I was too stupid to hold on to the season tickets that I had, so now I'm having to buy them off of other people. That's not very bright. That's not very bright at all. And on top of everything else, every time there's a coaching change, I throw up into a sink.
Daddy,
I got to sit down.
Yeah, we've had some problems here. I heard, Coach, General, are you all right?
You're talking to me?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm all right. Why?
Because at the very beginning, I heard you having a problem. Then I heard this guy, Gene Jabel, had a problem. It sounds to me like, Mr. Henry, you've had quite a program.
Yeah, well, we've got some physical ailments here. There's no question about it. I think it might have something to do with the heat. Mr. Jabel himself he's been shot 63 times.
Yeah, I heard about that. In the face, huh?
Well, he got shot once in the face with a shotgun, and that caused the face muscles to do something.
Well, it was actually the nerves.
Yeah, the face nerves or something did so. I don't know what they did. But the fact of the matter is it's been quite a day. Mr. Unger, please tell your father that we hope he feels better.
Yeah, hey, Dad.
Yep.
Dad, Mr. Henry says he hopes you feel better.
Oh, God. Do you have any Zantac?
Okay, I'll let you go.
All right, Phil. Well, thank you very much. I had a great time, and it's been... it's wow. It's wow.
Okay, thanks a lot, man. That is Vernon Dozier and his father, Unger. And, of course, we thank Gene Jabel for being on the program as well. And, General Shaw, you're all right.
Yeah, I'm fairly... What's the problem?
Well, I'm just trying to figure out who's okay, who can still walk around here. I mean, I've got people fainting, passing out, and every other thing.
You don't have to bust my balls over it, Phil.
All right, I'm sorry. We're going to take a... Actually, what we're going to do is skedaddle out of here because we do have to take a very, very early exit from the program here today due to some other work commitments. We do appreciate very much you guys being with us. Don't forget, tonight we're having a two-hour chat on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. That's a two-hour chat on the world-famous Phil Henry Show tonight. And that's to make up for us butchering up, I don't know how many of these chats that we butchered up, but... So, whatever they are.
Well, there's two of them that I can count.
Right. So that'll be tonight, 9 o'clock Pacific, here on the world famous Phil Henry Show, a special 2-hour chat. Let's see what else. Well, just many, many thanks to many, many folks, and to all of you. We love you. Have a great weekend, guys. Don't forget, it's Customer Appreciation Month here at the world-famous Phil Henry Show, so you can head on over, and with a backstage pass, you'll get 3 free Best of the Radio CD downloads. And, of course, as a backstage pass holder, you are eligible for a swag bag drawing, man. Another one coming up on Monday.
World-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated, All Rights Reserved, on Podcast One.
Remember when we used to have this stuff, it in my socks or my shoes. Come and ever want me mama see me pan now news. That holy sacrament, it truly changed my views. From the very first draw, inspiration I owes. The marijuana plant ain't just another plant. Made me forget all my cats and mother ain't all my wants. Them say it
the
make you
rebel, this about marijuana, huh?
Yes,
yeah.
Jesus,
H. I wonder if everybody's having a hard time breathing around.
I was waiting, I was hoping for the days like these. Say finally, yeah, not the dread can smoke in a peace. I mean, no, I fear run from no police. I man was waiting, I was praying, I was hoping for the days like this. Drop up a drop for the commissioner and another for minister. Drop up a drop for the doctors and another one for me lawyer. Come finally, this not the dread can smoke in a peace. I mean, no, I fear run from no police. I man was waiting, I was praying, I was hoping for the days like these. Say finally, yeah. The dread can smoke in a peace. I mean, no, I fear run from no police. Hey, Tosh was waiting, him was praying, him was hoping for the days like these. Sensimilia, indica and sativa. I call them my dream weavers. Remove the veil from my eyes, eyes, eyes. Sensimilia, indica and sativa. I call them my dream weavers. Remove the veil from my eyes, now I rise. Finally, this not the dread can smoke in a peace. I mean, no, I fear run from no police. I man was waiting, I was praying, I was hoping for the days like these. Say finally, yeah, not the dread can smoke in a peace. I mean, no, I fear run from no police. Hey, killer, miller, he was waiting, he was praying for the days like this.